Bibles to the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes. In this chapter, we're not going chapter by chapter, but I share with you tonight that in this particular chapter that Solomon will make five statements that are in conflict with what we normally believe. You look at these comments that he's going to make here, but he is at the end of his life. As we said to you before, he wrote probably three books. He wrote, no doubt, the Song of Solomon. He wrote that, his name's on it, when he was a young man, and then the book of Proverbs in his middle age, and now he's an old man, and he writes Ecclesiastes. And he's going to make just some statements that I'm not going to deal with all five of them and extensively, but number five I will. The fifth one I want to say more about. But as you meditate upon what he says here and think about it, it's really true. For example, statement number one is, the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. That's an interesting statement, is it not? Look at chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. In other words, the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. Now, that's a strange statement to make, because Solomon now is looking here at the end of his life, and he is probably looking back and thinking about all the hard things that he went through. And now he's at the end of his life, and he has heaven to look to. And I think a lot about that, those of us who are getting old, in our 70s here and 80s tonight, there's some of us in that group, you know, we begin to think about that more than you who are in your 30s and 40s. We recognize the truth of that, and the truth of that statement is so true. The day of your birth, a day of your death, because the Christian looks forward to it. He does not see that a day of drudgery. He does not see it that way. He sees that as a day that he is going to be with the Lord. My wife and I have agreed that when our time, the Lord will take us up, as written in our will. We don't want an ordinary funeral service. We don't even want a funeral service. We want a memorial service. We want a time of praise, rejoicing. I know a lot of my enemies will be glad that I'm gone, and they'll have a different kind of praise. But I thought about the fact that we ought to rejoice. We'll be with the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. So that's the first thing that he says, and certainly I don't need to spend much time on that, but when you think about that fact that, you know, there's 2 days that they put in the newspaper, the day of your birth and the day of your death. I've been looking when I get your paper here, and I look at the paper, and it's amazing how many people are dying, Doc, and about our age, some of them a lot younger. Wow, you know, I think about that. And yet, I'm not afraid of it. I look forward to it. I think we're going to be with the Lord. It's going to be a blessing. And won't have to pay taxes anymore. We'll have to go to the doctor. Amen? I mean, there's just a lot of blessings about that. And to see loved ones in the past and so forth. Then another statement that he makes is there in verse 4. That's the second statement, which is beyond human reasoning. And I phrase it this way, mourning is better than being merry of heart. Mourning is better than merry. Look there in verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. That's the wise man. And that idea of mourning is he takes life seriously. But he says, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. In other words, to him, life is just one big party. One big joke. You know people like that? I do. Just life is just one big happy thing they want. They want parties, they want all the good things, but you know what? You really never get close to the Lord with all that. Let me tell you what brings us close to the Lord, the testings that we go through that brings mourning in our lives. Those are the days you get close to God like you never got close to God any other way other than the Scriptures. That's the second statement made. The third one is found in verse 5, I believe. Open rebuke is better than secret love. I think that's what verse 5 is trying to say. And I'm quoting Proverbs 27, verse 5, when I've just made that statement. But he says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. The song here has the idea of praise. Have you ever been rebuked? How many of us have been rebuked? I've been rebuked. It's not fun. But I look back in my life and I am very thankful for the rebukes that God allowed me to have because I needed those. Sure, they hurt. But I'm thankful for every one of them. I hope you are too. But you know, people who just by your face to say all good things about you and behind their back to rebuke you, isn't going to help you. Just isn't going to help you, is it? Amen? Just not going to do it. And so I had one of my deacons come up to me one time and he said to me, Pastor, he said, I don't know how to tell you this, he said, but you know, you just walk right by people, you don't even know they're there. You know, that was a good rebuke. That helped me in the ministry because my mind is on the message. And it shouldn't be on the message when it should be on the people. And he taught me a lesson. Boy, that was like a knife. And I thought to myself, did you ever say this? Who do you think you are to yourself about somebody making a statement like to you? And I went to him later and I said, I want to thank you for that. I really needed that. I hope you have a habit of when people help straighten you out. Because we all need straightened out at times, don't we? You thank them. It's good that they are there and that they love you because open rebuke is better than secret love. That's the third one. Then the fourth one, is better to be patient than to be proud. Better to be patient than proud. And that's that we find here in verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, surely oppression maketh the wise man mad, but a gift destroyeth the heart. Actually, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patience in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. In other words, it's better, you know, the proud, they want everything done when? Now. You know, do you ever pray, you say, Lord, give me patience, but give it to me when? Now. But the proud can't wait. So he's saying here, these are things that are beyond human reasoning. Reasoning wants, you know, pride. Somebody said to me one day, my pride has been hurt. I said, hallelujah, I hope it gets killed. I hope your pride gets killed before it kills you. But patience. You know what patience is? It comes from two, in the New Testament, the word comes from two Greek words, means to go forward while under pressure. Hard to go forward. Do you ever have some crisis in your life or some testing in your life? It just seemed like it just stopped you. It's just hard to go ahead and go forward. But God says go forward. But the proud, oh no, the proud person is going to take it out of God's hand and I'm going to handle this. Do you ever give somebody a piece of your mind? I did it a few times and I discovered later on I didn't have it to spare. I needed every part of my mind. It'd be best off if I hang on to it. And the fifth one is the one I just want to spend a few moments on tonight. And the good old days are not necessarily the good old days. Look there, if you will, in verse 10. He deals here with the good. And that's the one I zero in on a little more because I got thinking about that. I guess because the older I get, I have said to myself, be careful with going back in the good old days. Be careful that you talk about the good old days. You know what the good old days are? They're what you live in now. Now think with me for a moment because I want to just say three things here. Look at verse 10. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not require wisely concerning this. You're not looking at this wisely to say that the good old days are better than these days. Let me just say a few thoughts about this tonight. The good old days are the memories only of the mind. They are the memories of the mind. Someone said the good old days is a combination of bad memory and a dissatisfaction with the present. I just wish we could get back to the good old days. The good old days are only in your mind. They never were as what you think they were. How many did you ever live in a house? I remember after I was just graduating from school, and I got a call from the Bank of America just before I graduated, and we were about ready to take our first church, and we're waiting on God, and they said, we have a house we'd like for you to live in. Matter of fact, we'll pay you for that. It's a huge home, three-story. Now, we lived in a little cracker box place, and I said, sure, and when we went into that main floor, it looked five times bigger than this, to my mind. And it had four stories to it, actually. And they paid us for living there, which was great. I mean, it's nice to get paid to live someplace. And when we went back one day to visit it, guess what? It was not nearly as big as my mind thought it was. How many have ever been there? It just wasn't what I thought it was. Anyone else? It just wasn't that. They never are what you think they were. For example, turn with me to the book of Ruth for just a moment. Go there to chapter 1 for just a moment. You remember when Ruth and her family had left Jerusalem, had left Bethlehem, that is Judah, they had left Israel. And they were in the land of Moab, and then, of course, everything just completely went haywire. And the reason why they had left the land is because there was what in the land? Remember what it was in the land? There was a famine. Then you come about 10 years later, according to verse 4, you will find that when they arrived here, she's very, very bitter. And she's mad at God. Notice what she says in verse 21. I went out, what? Full. And the Lord had brought me home again empty. In other words, I had so much before I left. Well, why did you leave it if life was that good? In other words, it really wasn't as it was. And the Lord was against her. She was talking about the good old days. She said, boy, I like the good old days. Or you could think about Israel. You remember Israel? They, over there in Numbers chapter 11, they reminisced about the good old days. Look over there for just a moment. I think it's profitable for us to turn there. I say all that because I think we got to be careful with, a lot of us today are disgruntled with what's happening in America. If you're not, there's something wrong with you. But you know, God has allowed what has happened for a reason. When you come over there to chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, it says in verse 4, and a mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to it? We, here it is, look at that word in verse 5, we what? We remember, can I word it for you? The good old days. We remember the fish which we had eaten in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics, and the bad breath. We remember it all. But they forgot to say here in the text, we also remember the slavery. We also forgot to mention the hard time. See, if we're not careful, we can make the good old days look better than they really were. So we need to be careful with that. Secondly, these memories are not just simply of the mind, but they are the means by which some of us escape the present. You were talking here. Was it you? Who was it? You were talking about your father and dementia. We took care of my father-in-law when he got dementia, and I took care of him, and I was glad I did. Matter of fact, I told Marilyn, we need to bring Dad. I got a call one day. I called him Dad because I really didn't have a dad here as one to raise me. He left me when I was two, so I called him Dad. And I remember the day I got the call from the highway patrolman. He said, "We have your dad here." I said, "What did Dad do?" He said, "Well, we ticketed him on the freeway." I said, "Wait a minute, my dad would know your speed." He said, "Oh, that's true, but going 25 mile an hour on a freeway is not the thing to do." And they ticketed him and took his keys away from him, but he had another pair. And he had forgotten what they did. And so they called me and I said, "Look, we're in Charleston and he's living in Ohio." And I said, "We'll be there about 12 or 13 hours. And we packed him up and we moved him to our home. But as the dementia got worse, there were times when it was very mournful. Dad had almost an earned PhD, a very brilliant man. But now he couldn't even balance his checkbook. And I would take him out. He loved to go out and eat. And I would, now and then, he would say, "It's my turn to pay." And then we'll forget it because he would always leave a quarter tip. And I'd have to sneak back and put some more money in there to make it look better. You don't understand what I'm talking about unless you've been there, but it's interesting. But he was back in 1929 in his thinking process. And he would be reminiscing about those days. But I can remember before dementia took place, he would talk about how terrible they were. Am I making sense? Because we're all going to be get there one day. But you know something? This today is the reality of our existence. We only our thoughts live in the past, but we ourselves live in the present. You need to take note of that. Only our thoughts live in the past, but we ourselves live in the present. And today, and every day is the first day of the rest of your life. I like what it says in Lamentations. Would you turn there to Lamentations for just a moment, chapter 3? Because here we see the truth of this. Jeremiah is speaking in this passage. He says in verse 19, before we really get to those tremendous verses that deal with the present. Remembering what? Remembering my affliction. And my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Go back to verse 17. Thou hast removed my soul fat, far off from peace. I forget prosperity. Now here's a guy who lived in prosperity times and he lived in bad times. Good times and bad times. And he's thinking about those good days, the old good days. And then he will make some interesting remarks in verse 21, 22, and 23. Then I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now the word recall, you ever sometimes Ford or GMC, well, what will they do with a car? They will what? Recall. You know why they recall? Because it was defective. And if you're not careful, we will live in days that will do us no good today because they're very defective. The days of yesterday will not help you today. They're defective. You got to live today. So he talks about a defective life is living in the past. I felt sorry for my father-in-law because all he could think about was living in the past. Yet, and I would often leave his room, tears in my eyes, because I remembered him, how he really was. Ah, but I not only see a defective life as he was thinking of the past there, But I see a devoted God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And then he makes this statement, a divine renewal. They are new when? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Live today. Live today, because you can't live in the yesterday. That's a defective thing to do. Think with me a little more on this subject. Go back to our passage there, because he does something very interesting here. After he makes this statement in verse 10, let's read it again. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Question mark, isn't it? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. And then he brings up the importance of a word that you cannot live in the past, you can always live in the present. It's called wisdom. Wisdom is what you need now. He says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. In other words, that look up. Somebody said that he that lives below the clouds lives too low. Live up there, above the clouds, with the Lord. It's the idea of that thought there. Wisdom. Wisdom does some things here. Number one, wisdom gives us the right use of prosperity. Things that we do and have. For wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But if you have money, what good is it if you don't use it what? Wisely. Wisdom. Wisdom only guides us in the right use of prosperity. He's talking about money in the passage. How many people do you know today that have not used their money wisely? I can name you churches that haven't used their money wisely. So what he says today is the wisdom of the past. You got to live today, and you need wisdom to guide you. And wisdom not only guides you, but wisdom glorifies God because of who he is. Verse 13, consider the works of God. For whom can make the straight? Who can make that straight which he has made crooked? God, listen, when God makes something crooked, you can't make it straight. God's God. Everything God does is for his glory. Help us, Lord, to see that. And wisdom gives us the grace to accept the present. Don't live in the past. Now, with that in mind, as I sort of wind this up, I do not want you for one moment to think that we can't learn from the past. Amen? We can. And there are some things in the past we wish our country had, isn't there? Our country may not have them, but we can have them. For example, I think of a few things to say that to you. There are some things of the past we should miss if we don't have them. For example, faith that seemed to be prevalent in our country. How many remember when they prayed in the public schools? Remember those? How many? Anybody here? Few of us. You know, that doesn't stop me from praying because they don't pray in public schools anymore. That shouldn't stop children from praying. That shouldn't stop us. I think of family unity. You remember, I just forgot his name. The well-known artist from Vermont Norman Rockwell. Such a hard name to remember. Remember his family scenes where everybody's around the table at Thanksgiving and the grandmother with her son is in the restaurant and she's bowing her head and everybody's taking their hat off as she prays. How many of you have seen this picture? It's a tremendous picture. Or the Thanksgiving picture. Speaking of family unity. You know, folks, we don't have that today. Can I say this? We are dumb today if we don't have family gatherings, getting together. I mean, you know, people just don't sit down and eat meals together anymore. Those are the things we used to think about, but we still can have them. There are some things of the past. How about the fear of God? You know, people are so brazen today to commit crimes so publicly, so frequently, because there was the lack of fear. There's not any fear of God in the White House or in the judicial house today. I mean, if our judicial system feared God, they wouldn't be killing babies. If our president feared God, he would not be saying, "Great, we're going to have same-sex marriages." Do you know what? Our forefathers, or 20 or 30 years ago, they would never dream of what has taken place in our country. See, those are the things we can remember and can be passed on from one generation to another that we want to need. Pardon me, I don't need the outhouse to come back to us anymore. Hello? I don't need the potbelly stove. How many know what I'm talking about? Been there? Know what I'm talking about? But we need to fear God, and we need to have family unity, and we need to have a faith that's lived and vibrant like those people did. We need that today. And yet there are the things of the present that are really, the present can be the good old days. What do I mean by that? Listen. When my father-in-law, who I called Dad, went home to be with the Lord, he often reminisced about before he died when he was a little fella. I reminisce a little bit about that, but I got news for you. We had an advantage today that he did not have. You know what it is? We're closer to the coming of the Lord than he was in his day as a child. That is the advantage that makes these the good old days. The Lord's coming soon. It's sooner than when he was a child. And sooner the old, good old days. I remember I was raised in the slums of Newark, Ohio, and I lived in the area that they literally condemned. My backyard was a city dump. I enjoyed it because, man, we just found things at a city dump you just don't find any place. That's the best yard sale you can find. My front yard was just a few yards away, was the train track. Now we have no, you children, you young people, look at me, all the young people, look, put your ears like this. I don't want you to hear what I'm going to say. But I would ride those trains. One day when I was visiting home, I got out of my car. No one was with me. I didn't want anybody with me because it looked like what I did was a little. And I got out and I looked around, and then I got on the railroad track, walked it. You know, news for you, that didn't feel nearly as good as when I was a child. Matter of fact, I couldn't do it now at all. I'd stumble off of it. Be thankful for these days. And what Solomon was trying to say, and I think what makes us grumpy old people, pardon me for saying that, is when we just don't appreciate what God is doing today. We're not thankful for what he's doing today. Instead of the blessings, we're thinking about the burdens. Just be thankful today. Grumpy old people are people who live too much in the past and compare those days. I was telling some of the, your daughter Sarah last night and Samuel that I can remember buying a big RC Cola for 6 cents. Wow. Of course, that was wages at $40 a week. I forgot to tell them that. Samuel made more in one day cutting lawns than not some people did in a week or two. Didn't tell that part. And it's very interesting that the generation that we go back to the days when we think of the good old days, that generation thought the good old days were days before them. Isn't that interesting? Live today. And thank the Lord for the privilege. That's what really Solomon is trying to tell us in this text on the good old days. I'm glad for the good old days of today. I rejoice in them. I don't know what tomorrow holds, you? But I know who holds tomorrow. Do you ever have children say, "Oh, there he goes again, going to talk about the good old days." And they look at us like we're aliens from outer space. You know what our children need to hear? How good God is today. How good God is today. And he is good. All God's people said, prayer request. Yes.